Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Joining us at this time from Israel, filmmaker Hadas Ben-Haroya, director of All Eyes Off Me from the Panorama section of the Berlinale 2021. This is her second feature film, so I'm happy to get to talk about it with her. Hadas, welcome to the show.
Hello, hi, nice to meet
you. Great, so we're going to be talking about All Eyes Off Me, which has been screened and presented at the Berlinale this year. And just to introduce it a bit, would you maybe care to say a few words about maybe what the story is for the people who are not familiar with the film yet?
Yeah, of course. So the film, as you said, called All Eyes Off Me, and it's three episodes. The first one is with Danny, a young girl looking for Max, a guy who got her pregnant, and she wants to tell him she got pregnant by him. But then we find out that in the second episode that Max already have a new girlfriend, but then his new girlfriend already have someone else in mind and starting a new relationship with someone else. So it's kind of three episodes in which everybody is starting a new relationship after the other is ending, sort of.
It's an exploration of love, sexual fantasies, intimacies, all of that, via the lives of particularly three different characters, like you said. But would it be right in saying that you were also interested in looking for new ways to explore intimacy, sexual fantasies, and love in cinema? One that maybe would represent modern life in a different and perhaps more legitimate way than what we normally see.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the thing that fascinates me the most is what is intimacy in our age, how intimacy shifted itself through time. And because we're very much liberated and everything is allowed and genders and, you know, participants in sex and, you know, so on. So everything is out there and you can experience everything. It has a toll. And the price of it is that you don't always know how you really feel. And like intimacy has become different. And so the heroine of the story finds herself trying to get hurt during sex, but what she really wants is to feel something, and it becomes very dangerous. So at the end, she kind of finds out that the best way, and like this is my opinion as well, that the best way to feel intimacy is not by going very, very extreme, it's just going back to simplicity and being vulnerable in front of someone. If you're vulnerable in front of someone, this is what intimacy is, and this is the most powerful tool to feel, and not to go so radical.
Right. So, I mean, just to understand it more, do you feel that the generation of the contemporary world, at least the one that you explore, is more free, especially in terms of how it experiences love and sexuality?
I would say yeah, but again, it's... you know, we are very, very free from the outside, but we are very scared. I mean, like, it will be super hard for us to say I love you or be vulnerable in front of someone, but it will be very easy for us to do very, you know, things that maybe our parents wouldn't have done. So everything is very, very much free, but between us, in terms of being vulnerable and like being very honest and authentic between one another, this is the scary thing. Like in the basic, we're not free, but from the outside we are. Like we are always exposing ourselves on social media, and we are, I don't know, going to sex clubs, or, you know, we do a lot of things which you might call free, but at the core, we are very, very much afraid of being vulnerable.
So in this film, you, like you said, you explore sexual fantasies, particularly but not exclusively in Abishag, wanting to feel pain during sex. But do you feel, and I guess you do, given what you have said in your previous answers, but I'd like to know more about it. Do you feel that sexual fantasies do play an important role in shaping society and in society at large?
Not exactly. I mean, I don't think it takes a big role, but like in the film, I try to do two things about the sexual fantasy. First is showing that, you know, that it's not about BDSM. It's experience with people who wear leather pants, and you know, it's not, it's about trying, and like young people who are in love also try it, and it'd be a really nice normal thing. But the other thing that I was trying to do is to show how dangerous it is, because I mean, during this sexual fantasy, the rough sex that they are having, it's kind of a game. So inside the borders of the game, you can't really know how you feel, because you don't know if you are acting or you really feel that. I mean, if she is in pain and she's, I don't know, crying, is this part of the game, or does she really feel pain? You know what I mean? So it's super confusing because it is a game. And I think that in cinema, it's really interesting to show that on screen, because you as a spectator don't really know if that's part of the game or not. And also she doesn't feel that. And so there is also the moral question, because she asked her boyfriend to do that to her. She asked him, hit me and pull my hair and spit on me and so on. And then he does that, but he really hurts her. And there is a point where you don't know exactly if she's enjoying it or not. So this is super dangerous for people that are not really, you know, that don't do that for the right reasons, I would say. But it's super interesting in a cinematic way also, because you are also not sure what to feel.
Yes. And in fact, while we're on the topic, there would have been nothing worse in a film that explores sexuality and sex than having sex scenes that felt fake or constructed, which is something that I feel often happens, but not in your film. So how is it that the sex scenes of this film between Abhishek and Max feel so legitimate in All Eyes Off Me?
Well, I was lucky enough to cast a couple, so that was an easy task to make them have sex.
Oh, right.
I mean, at first, Alisheva Weil, who plays Abhishek, she's a really amazing actor. And she was the first one I casted. And then we together looked for the guy, and she pointed him, and she thought Lev Levine would be a good choice. And then when we chose, like, we casted him, afterwards they became a couple, like during casting or during like the rehearsal, they became a couple. So that was very, very easy, because they were very much in love, and you know, we became super close friends. So, and we became very good friends with the DOP as well. So the whole atmosphere was very, you know, as easy as possible. Of course it was hard, but it was, I felt like, you know, I'm not pushing anyone to do anything, because they, you know, they did it a lot after the shooting as well. So that was okay.
That's great. And I'm happy to hear they continue to do it after the shoot as well. What is the meaning of the title, All Eyes Off Me?
Okay, so the meaning of the film is, you know, first of all, like, when you, even though it's not gender, you don't know what's the gender of it, because it's All Eyes Off Me, you still feel it's a woman. I don't know, I felt it have to be a woman, so I found it interesting. And also, so we kind of follow Abhishek's story, but we see her from other perspective. We see other eyes that's telling her story, and so that's part of the thing. And also, the feeling that you are very much disconnected from, you know, not being able to communicate or not being able to fully realize what you feel, so that there is like this feeling that is represented by the title. So I don't know, it just felt right, you know.
Yeah, I'll get back to that later, actually, because you introduced something that's quite interesting. But speaking of the structure of the film, splitting the film into three parts, I mean, I guess you mentioned the thing about the perspective on Abhishek, mm-hmm. but also, is there something about this particular structure that you find stimulating in other ways as a storyteller?
Yeah, I liked it really much because I felt like, first of all, I felt that we kind of starting with a main character who is Danny, and we kind of kill her after the first part. It's like you're very much connected to a character, but then you don't see her anymore. I felt like it's like in Games of Thrones when you kill the main character and you're like, no. So it's stupid, but this is why I felt like it would be very interesting to go with some character and then not seeing her anymore. But also I felt like it's a really nice journey to take, as you know, in a narrative perspective, that you have a protagonist, but you see her through other eyes, and you see different conflicts of different protagonists that tells their story, but actually tells her story. So you kind of see a panoramic view of her generation, of her world, that tells her story, but through other people's story. So it looks like an ensemble story, but it's actually hers. So you always like have to think through while you're watching the film. You have to think all the time. You have to be active and not just lay back. And you really need to, like, to join the dots, and I think it's more engaging that way.
You know, a term that I was thinking about as well while I was watching your film was groove, which is sort of a term that's obviously used in music more than films. But it's true, because there's a real construction of space and atmosphere in your film. And I noticed that you tend to use dialogue sparingly, is what I'm trying to say. And you opt instead for, you know, silences, music or sound. Is there a reason for this?
I don't know. Like, I really like dialogues. It's like a tool that I really like using. So, you know, the film is, you know, you have a lot of stories. People are telling their stories a lot through the film. And I use dialogues as a tool to understand the characters. I use a lot of, I don't know, repetitive kind of dialogue, but I also use a lot of silence and music. And I basically, I don't know, like, I'm trying to fill the film with things that I like. So if there is a song I like, I would just put it there. And if there is someone told me something, I will put it there. I don't know. I like this veggie hot dog. So everybody in my film eats veggie hot dogs. And I'm just putting like things in the film that I like and kind of combined.
Veggie hot dogs.
Yes.
There's a song called Veggie Hot Dogs.
No, it's not a song. It's just veggie hot dogs.
Oh, right. No, I should know about those. I'm a vegetarian, so I I'm all about those. Hey.
Yeah.
Let's give a shout out to Veggie Hot Dogs.
Woo. No, they're doing it really well here in Israel. They have really good veggie hot dogs. So all the people in my film are eating veggie hot dogs.
Awesome.
No, I was trying to say that I'm like I'm just doing the film for me to be happy. So I'm watching the film and I'm like showing myself things that I like. So I'll put a song that I like. I'll put a, you know, reality TV show that I like, and I will put dialogues that I like. Eventually it's me bringing
it's
presents to myself. Yeah.
Does filmmaking make you happy?
Of course.
You know, we talked about it earlier, so this is something that I wanted to go back to. And I feel that your film, we've talked about perspective and, you know, also desire, I guess, in a way. And pretty much since the birth of theory of film, scholars have talked about the relationship between cinema and desire. And this has often been identified as a male-dominated desire. Do you think that this is changing, perhaps also thanks to films like yours, where this concept of desire, also in relation to love and sex, is much more fluid? It's becoming much more fluid?
This is a really good question, because I'm so confused, to be honest. Like, yesterday I saw, this is have nothing to do with our conversation in a way, but I have to say that. Yesterday I saw the second episode of the Ellen versus Pharaoh. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Okay, so that really made me think, because I love Woody Allen. He also, he not also, he writes like in Manhattan, let's say, about a relationship between a 17 years old girl. And I always thought that it's legitimate to show through art what you feel, and art can show everything. You can show, I don't know, a pedophile point of view because it's art. But then it made me think a lot. And this comes to your question now, because I feel that maybe all of us got really structured to think some things in our brain. Like after I saw that, I Googled, why does young women love older men? And so I saw a lot of, you know, articles about it, but really weird articles. Like, let's say it was like 10 reasons, and like one, because they're successful, two, because they have money, three, because they give you security. And I was like, no, I can't believe it. And then I was like, okay, like, I know that, but now I see that the media gave us like certain way of thinking things, and maybe my thoughts are not my thoughts. Maybe my thoughts are what I grew up seeing in media. And what I'm trying to say that without even like trying to, if I'm bringing my voice, like my female gaze, my female voice to the world, it's super important. And it's very, very much important to, you know, to break this structure that we were all based on without even knowing.
Thank you very much. So I remind our listeners that the film is called All Eyes Off Me. And thanks a lot. And obviously, you know, it is a shame that you can't be in Berlin right now. But you're fingers crossed that later on this year, when the Berlinale will do its second run, you'll be able to travel, right?
Yeah, I will love that. Yes, I really hope that will take place.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks you for lot. Having me. It was a pleasure. Bye.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.